Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Mem Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief four-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 12 lines from the top. We open with a question, and the question is a long question marking. You can see we have a shin encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line showing the length of this question. Bominei Reish Lakish Merav Yochanan. We continue in the sugya of Muktza, and we are analyzing the different Shitos Tanoim, and specifically Rabbi Shimon, who has said Ein Muktza, and we also noted that that concept of Ein Muktza within the Shita of Rabbi Shimon is actually qualified. In other words, there are circumstances where Rabbi Shimon will accept the concept of Muktza. So here Reish Lakish asks a question of Rabbi Yochanan, Chitin Shezoran Bekarka, Ubeitzim Shetachas Tarnegoilis Mahu. Wheat kernels, or wheat seeds that were planted in the ground, and eggs that were laid by chickens. Mahu. What is the din with regard to Muktza? Ki Lesle, and we should point out that this is a question in the Aleph O Dilma Beis structure, where we give two sides of the question and we denote that with an aleph, and then a few lines later you'll notice a squiggle underlined Oy Dilma expression. We squiggle underlined transition expressions. Here we're going from one side to the other, where we note Bays, the second side. So the question right now is regarding the wheat kernels that have not yet taken root, and he conceivably can just take them out of the ground and eat them as they are, and the egg that was laid by a chicken, was laid on Shabbos. What is Rabbi Shimon's approach to these things? So the Gemara goes on to explain. Mahu, ki leslei l'Rabbi Shimon Muktza. When is it that we say that Rabbi Shimon does not hold from Muktza? Hecha deloi dachio b'yodayim. That's a case where he didn't knowingly push it away. Dismiss it, knowingly dismiss it from use. Hecha dedachio biodayim islei muktza. However, where he dismisses it, knowingly dismisses it from use, he will accept the concept of muktza. Oy dilma loshna. Or maybe we make no distinction, and even then, Rabbi Shimon does not accept the muktza restriction. Omarle, and as we go on in the Gemara, we now answer the question, but we also have a structural note, the diamond, and on the side under our Mivneh, noting, we simply note that Ein Muktza the Rabbi Shimon Ela, the Gemara will say over here, and later on in the Gemara we'll see another opinion as to when is it that Rabbi Shimon disavows Muktza. So, the Gemara says here, Amale ein muktza l'Rabbi Shimon ela shemen shebener b'sha'ah shehu dolek. The only kind of muktza that Rabbi Shimon will acknowledge is oil in an oil lamp while the wick is burning. And what is it that makes it so significant and restrictive and severe that Rabbi Shimon will accept it? Hoyo v'huktza l'mitzvaso. Huktza le'isuro. There seem to be two elements. The Gemara will ask about this. Two factors at play. One is that it was set aside for the mitzvah of Neros Shabbos, of having Shabbos candles, and also that while it's burning, there is an Isur Kibui associated with it. There's a prohibition of extinguishing it, which is an Av Melacha. But if it were, let us say, something set aside just for mitzvah purposes alone, so there would be no problem, no restriction. So that only combining these two factors, it's muktzah l'mitzvah and muktzah l'isuro, will Rabbi Shimon accept the muktzah idea. If that be the case, then the chitim shezorim bakarka and the beitzim shetachas tarnagolas, those would not fall under this restriction. The Gemara asks, and you'll notice the question is a long question. Halfway into this question, there will also be a bracketed section, but we start the question now. Veles le huktzah l'mitzvaso. Does Rabbi Shimon not accept the concept of something as being muktzah if it was merely set aside for mitzvah purposes? Even without an isur malacha associated with it, it should still be usur. V'hatanya. This is a source that features a sukkah, and it says, Sichicha kilchosa, a sukkah that was covered with schach in a proper fashion, the itra bikromim uvstimim amatsuyarim, and it was decorated with these different types of decorations. Kromim, Rashi says, are colorful pieces of fabric, and likewise sheets that are have figures on it, or pictures on it. The tola bo, and you suspended or hung as decorations, a goizim afarskim shkenim v'rimoinim, the afrachile shel anovim v'atril shel shibolim, yenois shmonim v'siltos, all kinds of different fruits and oils and flour that you hung as decorations. Osur listapik mehen ad motso yom tov v'acharon. It's forbidden to use them till the end of the Sukkot holiday. V'im hisna, if a person made a condition that he is hanging them on condition that he will be able to draw from them, then hakol afiyatinatano, then we will follow what he stated in his condition. In the meantime, we see a source here that features sukkah decorations, and the source says that the sukkah decorations are usur throughout the entire holiday of Sukkot. Now, they have been set aside for the mitzvah of sukkah. That's true, but there's no isur malacha here, especially during Chol HaMoed. There's no isur stiras ohel of undoing a structure. So, why would this source nevertheless say that they are forbidden for use? That's the basic question. There's no name in this source, so we have to establish that it is according to Rabbi Shimon. That is what the Gemara will do in the bracketed section. Nevertheless, for the time being, let us just skip to the end of the bracketed section. There's a bracket length indicator. You can see a vertical dash dotted line to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, where the Gemara explains after the brackets. This is a response. In other words, we mentioned that Rabbi Shimon accepts muktzah only if you have two factors, huktzah l'mitzvaso and huktzah l'isuro. The comment was made originally by the diamond, where it said, "Ein muktzah Rabbi Shimon elo shemen shebener b'shal shu dolek." Here the Gemara says, "Ke'ein shemen shebener ko'amrinon," something that's like shemen shebener, like the oil in the oil lamp. Hoyo v'huktzah l'mitzvaso, huktzah l'isuro. Let us glance at the Rashi. Lower down in the narrow lines, Rashi says, "Ke'ein shemen ko'amino, v'lo mishum isur elo mishum mitzvah." In fact, Rabbi Shimon prohibits something if it's usur only because of it being set aside for a mitzvah. The hoyel dehuktzah l'mitzvah so de Shabbos, since it was set aside in the case of the candles, they were set aside for the mitzvah of Shabbos, huktza l'chol zman isur delei kosai. They are forbidden as long as it is burning. In other words, the huktza l'mitzvoso is defined by the time or the length of time that it's used in performing the mitzvah. Veloy yoiser, and not beyond the burning time. The ein mitzvosoi elo b'shas delei kosoi. The mitzvah is only while it's creating light. That's the mitzvah of Shabbos candles. So it's a time factor that's being defined when he says b'shashu dolek. That's the time for the mitzvah. Umishikova ein bo mitzvah. And when it is extinguished, when it goes out, there's no more mitzvah. Avol besukas achag mitzvoso kol shiva. The haktsoso kol zman mitzvoso. So that not like we thought that Rabbi Shimon requires two factors, that in order to become osur mishum muksa in the realm of huksala mitzvoso, but merely the fact that something was set aside for the mitzvah. What was mentioned originally, b'shoshu dolek, that's not because of the isur kibui per se, but b'shoshu dolek is the time definer of the mitzvah. So, carrying that over to the sukkah source, is, in fact, according to Rabbi Shimon, and the mitzvah time of sukkah is the entire 7 days of the holiday. Therefore, the decorations are forbidden for personal use during the 7 days because it's huktza l'mitzvah, so it's set aside for the mitzvah. Let's now go over the bracketed section, which we skipped earlier. The Gemara asks, Umimai de Rabbi Shimon, how do we know that the sukkah source is in accordance with Rabbi Shimon? Because otherwise, then there'd be no basis for asking the question that we originally raised. We raised the point within Shitas Rabbi Shimon, and then we asked on it. So if you're asking on Rabbi Shimon, you had better been asking from a source that is in accordance with Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says, I know it's Rabbi Shimon, the Tani Rebchia Bar Yosef Kamei to Rabbi Yochanan. The following source was taught in the presence of Rabbi Yochanan. Ein noitlin eitzim min asukha b'yom tov, elo min asomuch la. One cannot take wood from a sukkah. And when we say take wood from a sukkah, the idea here is even if the sukkah fell down, one cannot draw wood or take wood from it because the wood of the sukkah has been set aside for the mitzvah of sukkah. The Rashi says the Tani Rebchia ein noitlin eitzim be Pesach v'atzeres misukkah v'asuy l'tzeil. This is a booth that's made on the holidays of Pesach and Atzer, so it's not a sukkah of the mitzvah sukkah, and it's made for shade purposes. That a person might want to eat in might want to spend time in a shaded area. V'afilu noflu, even if they fell down, so you can't take wood from them. Mishum muktzah disgatzoi machmas tiras oil b'yom tov. It's been declared muktzah because when it was standing on Yom Tov, it was forbidden to draw wood from it because that would be tantamount to knocking down, to drawing from a structure, which is an iser of stiras ohel, of undoing or of breaking down a structure. So the Tanakhama says that you cannot draw wood from a sukkah on Yom Tov, elo min asomuch lo. He can draw from wood next to it. If a person, let us say, set up bundles of wood near the sukkah wall, there's no iser muktza on that because his mind was on it from Erev Yom Tov to use it, let's say, for firewood if you're dealing with Yom Tov. And there's no iser stira on that because it wasn't part of the structure. So the source goes on to say, Rabbi Shimon Matir. Rabbi Shimon will allow taking wood from the sukkah that fell down on Sukkis. On Pesach or Shavuos. The Shavin, there is agreement though, the Sukkis Hachag B'chag, she asura. The sukkah made for the mitzvah of sukkah on the holiday of sukkahs, even Rabbi Shimon will agree that the wood is asur all 7 days, even if the sukkah happened to have fallen down. V'imhisna oleo akolafi tano, if he made a condition that in the event that it falls down and it's chalamoyed, I will want to draw from the wood, that would be okay. But we see from here that Rabbi Shimon acknowledges that as long as something is performing the mitzvah, it is osur to use it, even if there is no other isur associated with it. For example, the isur of stiras oyel. So the Gemara has posed the question that how can you say originally ein muktzel Rabbi Shimon, where we have the diamond, and we say oh shemen shebenei b'shoshu dole koyel huktzel mitzvah so huktzel isuro, that Rabbi Shimon requires two factors, when we see from this sukkah discussion and the long question that we just completed, we see that even without an isur factor, an isur malacha factor, for example, the case of the sukkah that fell down and it's chol hamoed, there's no problem in drawing the wood from it. Yet, the wood is osur all 7 days. So we see that Rabbi Shimon acknowledges that there's a concept of huktzel mitzvaso alone. Therefore, with regard to the original statement of Rabbi Shimon, hoyov huktzel mitzvaso, huktzel isuro, that's under question. So the Gemara answers, ke'ein shemen shebeneir ko'arminon. The muktzah that Rabbi Shimon acknowledges is like the case of shemen shebeneir. Since it was set aside for a mitzvah, so it is set aside from being used, and the zman of the mitzvah in the case of the candle is defined by the time that it is burning. But not that there is an iser of muktzah li'isuro. But only because it's set aside for the mitzvah does it become osir. Itmar nami om Reb Chiyo bar Abba om Reb Yochanan ein muktzah the Rabbi Shimon elo kein shemen shebener b'shoshu dolek. And we see also Rabbi Chiyo says, like we answered, that that Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold for muktzah other than something like the case of the oil in the candle in the oil lamp on Shabbos. While it's burning, since it was set aside for the mitzvah, so it is forbidden to use it. Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel. And we see another diamond, so it's another position or definer of muktzah according to Rabbi Shimon. So he says, "Ein muktzel Rabbi Shimon, ella grogros v'tzimukin bilvad." The only kind of muktzah that Rabbi Shimon will accept is something like grogros and tzimukin. The Rashi says, "Grogros tzimukin; these are dried figs and dried raisins, but obviously not after they're already dried and edible. That's food, and that's not muktzah. But we're talking about." Figs and grapes that he set aside to become dried out. Rashi says toward the end of the narrow lines, El grogos simukin, grogros are tainim, shemale legag, liabshon, figs that are put up on the roof to dry. If you have a flat roof and the sun beats down on that, it'll dry them out. Umishta'u shoma'at, once the figs are left a little while on the roof, Ein ru'uyim lachila, ad shi'is yabshu. V'chein simukin danovim. And likewise, raisins coming from grapes. These are two kinds of fruits that, when left a little while in the sun, until they become fully dried out, they are not fit for eating. So they start off as fresh fruits, specifically figs and grapes. They're obviously allowed at that point. You put them up on the roof to dry out. They become unfit in a short amount of time, and only when they last that way, they remain unfit until they're fully dried out. So that is something that Rabbi Shimon says is muktzah. The Gemara asks a question, and notice this is a long question. We have again the kuf and circle to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text and a descending vertical dashed line showing you the length of this question. Umidi achrina lo, and other things Rabbi Shimon does not acknowledge as being muktzah. Well, we have a source, and once again, the Gemara will, there's no name in this source, and the Gemara will demonstrate that this source is according to Rabbi Shimon, and it will do that after the framed section. V'hatanya hoya oichel b'te'enim. Person was eating. He was eating fresh fruits. And the hosir, and he had was eating fresh figs. Some were left over. V'helon l'gag lasus mem grogros, and he put them up on the roof to dry out to become grogros, which are dried figs. Likewise, ba'anovim v'hosir v'helon l'gag lasus mem simukim. He was eating fresh grapes, left over some, and he brought them to the roof to become raisins. Lo yoichal ashi azmin. He cannot eat from them until he sets them aside for eating. V'chein ata oimer b'afar sekin v'chavushin ushar kol mine peros. And the same will be with regard to these other kind of fruits, afar sekin and chavushin. And Rashi points out three lines from the bottom. V'chein ata oimer v'chule v'afagav dahani chozi kol shaita. These are unlike the figs and grapes, because these, when you, these afarsikin and chavushin, even though you put them up on the roof to dry, they are still edible the entire time. Vafilu nishto, lo niskalklu, even if they are, they remain for a while, they don't go bad. Umi mihu, hayo v'aktsinu asiri. But merely since he set them aside for drying them out, that's enough, and they become usser. The Gemara goes on. We have to establish that this is Rabbi Shimon. Moni, who is this? Who is the author of this? Ilema Rabbi Yehuda. If you were to think that it's Rabbi Yehuda, why would you need to have a case where he is what's doicha biyadayim, where he pushes them aside? He makes this deliberate move to set them aside for drying out. Mind you, Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara will point out, will say even if you simply put them in storage, I lemo Rabbi Yehuda uma hecha delot achya biyadayim isle mukza. Mind you, where you don't push them away deliberately, he will acknowledge, he holds that there is mukza. Rashi says at the end of the Rashi commentary, afilu hechnisa nami lo'itzer bo hazmona. Even if he simply put them in storage, he has to assign them or define them before Shabbos for use. So putting something in storage is not as significant a pushing aside, a pushing away, as setting things up to dry out. And even so, even without Dechiyo B'yadayim, Rabbi Yehuda holds from Muktzah, Hecha D'Dachiyo B'yadayim Lo Kol Shekein, where he made this deliberate pushing away of it to set them aside to dry out, all the more so they would be considered Muktzah. So this, it would be unnecessary to teach such an extreme example as is featured in this source if it were according to Rabbi Yehuda. El Olav Rabbi Shimon He. Rather, this must be according to Rabbi Shimon. Now, what's the point? We see from this source that the concept of muktzah is not limited to the grogros of simukim, which experience a period of time where they're literally unfit for eating, but even where they remain fit, Rabbi Shimon would say they are also simply because you set them aside for drying. The Gemara answers, it's not Rabbi Shimon. Li'oilam Rabbi Yehuda. This source which extends the concept of muktzah beyond grogros and simukim is Rabbi Yehuda. You'll ask, well, I don't need to have a case of his actually setting aside to dry in order to come to muktzah. So the Gemara says, v'oichel itzdurichalei. This source has a certain feature of a certain element that is a chiddush, even within Rabbi Yehuda. There's a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, and you can see where the original term oichel was coming from. The source featured a person who was seated and eating these fruits. So he's in the middle of eating these fruits. And the Gemara points out, since we're talking about someone who's eating the fruits, and in the course of his eating, so he finishes what he wants to eat, and he then puts them up on the roof. But since it's in the course of his eating, I might have thought that you don't have to be mazmin, you don't have to define that I want to draw from them on Shabbos. Komashmon came on the Elon Lagag. The Chiddush here is, since he did put them up on the roof, Asuche Aschi Ledate Minayu, that constitutes his disengaging from them, his Masiach Das, literally removal of his thought concerning them. And as a result of that, the fact that he had put them up there in the course of his eating is not enough to enable him to draw from them on Shabbos. But he would have to stay or think in an explicit fashion that he intends to draw from them on Shabbos. Otherwise, they would be muktzah. But we're limiting this source to Rebbe Yehuda. The Gemara continues. Bo mine Rebbe Shimon bar Rebbe, may Rebbe. So the Rebbe Shimon, Rebbe's son, asks a question of his father. You'll notice that we dashed underline Rebbe's name because as we go on in the Gemara, the focus of this sukya is going to be on Shitas Rebbe. The Gemara continues at the top of Amud Beis. Pas'ilei Tamora, the Rebbe Shimon Mahu. Pas'ilei Tamora are dates that are removed from the tree before they are actually ripe, before they're edible. They're gathered together in baskets made of palm leaves, and they ripen on their own in that setup. Can you eat from them before they become ready? Would Rebbe Shimon view this as grogros and simukin? Amarle, so Rebbe answers, Ein muktzah l'Rebbe Shimon ela grogros v'tzimukin bilvad. The only muktzah that Rebbe Shimon accepts is the example of grogros and simukin. What's the nature of them? First of all, he was doicha b'yodayim, and secondly, they're lo chazu, they're not fit for eating. They go bad in the interim. It would seem from that answer that the patsilei tamora would not be in the same category, in the sense that though the way Rashi presents it is ma lechomem koydim bishulon, before they become fully ripe, can you eat from them? But it would seem that if someone wants to eat from them, it must be that they're fit for eating and they're not as bad as the grogros simukin when they're in the when they're in that interim stage where they're not roy for eating. So Rebbe is saying that the patsilei tamora would be okay. Before we go on in the Gemara, we have a topic heading. The nosei is biwur ma'i shitas Rebbe b'muktzah. The Gemara will be spending time on trying to figure out what is Rebbe's opinion with regard to muktzah. So the Gemara asks, for Rebbe lesle muktzah? Does Rebbe not hold from muktzah? From what we just heard in the Gemara, Rebbe said that there's no muktzah except for grogros simukin, which is an extreme case. That was Rebbe's answer. He was explaining that Rebbe Shimon doesn't hold from muktzah except for the extreme case of grogros and simukin, giving us the impression at this point that Rebbe subscribes to that, and hence Rebbe doesn't hold from muktzah. Rashi explains on the first narrow line, from the fact that Rebbe Shimon bar Rebbe, that was the son of Rebbe, was asking his father within Shitas Rebbe Shimon, as Rashi says, midaboy mine aliba de Rebbe Shimon, almo havi shmiele meavod de Rebbe Shimon svirle. Must be that Rebbe Shimon bar Rebbe, that's Rebbe's son, had heard from his father Rebbe that he holds like Rebbe Shimon. And that gives rise to this question. And as we say, it's a long question. And in the course of this long question, we're going to see Shitas Rebbe, whereby it seems that he says there is a concept of Muktzah beyond Grogros and Simukin. The unique feature of Grogros and Simukin is that in the interim period of time until they actually dry out, they're not fit at all. The Gemara will be dealing with animals and their availability for slaughtering on Yom Tov. Before slaughtering animals, it was a practice to give them to drink, and that made them easier to skin after they've been slaughtered. So the Gemara says, V'hotnan, after asking for Rebbe Lesley Muksa, does Rebbe not hold from Muksa? We have a little star to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara, indicating to look at Omid Aleph, and at the bottom of Omid Aleph there was a parallel star where Rebbe's name was featured. And as we said, we're focusing on Shitas Rebbe, that's why we're emphasizing this. Well, does he not hold from Muksa? V'hotnan, Ein mashkin v'shochatin es hamidborios, avu mashkin v'shochatin es habaisos. This Mishnah is telling us that you're not allowed to take animals that are called midborios, and in the next section of Gemara will be defining what midborios are. But you are allowed to mashkin v'shochatin the baisos, the home-oriented animals. V'tanya elu hein midborios, the following are called midborios. Those animals that are set out to pasture on Pesach and are rounded up, brought in the month of Cheshvan, when the first rainfall takes about. Rashi says in the month of Mar Cheshvan. They're out of the community for a long time. Baisos, what are Baisos animals? These are animals that pasture outside the tchum, and tchum is a distance of 2,000 amas outside the community, so they pasture out in fields, and they come in on a nightly basis within the tchum for sleeping. Rebbe Omer, and here we dash under on Rebbe because we really want to focus on him. This is the sugya surrounding Shitas Rebbe. Rebbe Omer, Eilu Ve'elu, Baisus Hain. Both examples of the Tanakama are classified as Baisos. So that what the Tanakama said, even those animals that are grazing outdoors for more than half a year from Pesach till Cheshvan, those are still considered Baisos. Baisos, coming forward, bias, like home-oriented animals. So, v'elu hein midborios. However, these are midborios. Now, we dashed underline midborios after dashed underlining Rebbe. This is the main point, that there is something here that Rebbe is acknowledging as being midborios, and those you would not be allowed to shecht on Yom Tov. Kol, what are they? Kol shiros be'efer. Efer is the pasture. They're out in the fields. The ain nichnosus the yishuv lo b'meisachamva lo b'meisachshomim. They are out in pasture all the time, even during the rainy season. They're never brought into the community, to the yishuv. What do we see though from this? We see that Rebbe defines midborios in his way, and you cannot shech them on Yom Tov. Well, that's an example of mukta, and that is it would appear that it's obvious this is something beyond Grogos Smukim. The Gemara answers, and you'll notice three answers. The Gemara has, we have a mivne, a structural note on the side. And the term Iboy Seimo in quotation marks, that's the term that we've double underlined, which is one of our series markings. And we've noted Gimel Tshuvos Kedei Lahasbir Shitas Rebbe Mubuksa. We have three answers and each one of them will be shedding light on what Shitas Rebbe is with regard to Mukta. Number one, Iboy Esema, Hani Nami Kigros Simukim Damion. The Midborios are like Grogos and Simukim. Rashi explains, Midborios Nami Kigros Domi, Didachinu Biodayim. You, first of all, you put them out to pasture year round. Out, that's like pushing them aside. V'yesh torach leilech lovim. There's also trouble. It's difficult to go out there and round them up. So there are two factors here. Just like grogos and simukim, we said there were two factors. We saw this in Rashi on the fourth line from the top, where we noted number one dachinu b'yadayim and number two velo chazu. Here too, you have two factors: dachinu b'yadayim and yesh torach leichavim. That would be the parallel of lo chazu, which is they're very difficult to go out and get them. So they're kind of like unfit in that sense. So the source here with the Shitas Rebbe and the Midborios is not a question on what he originally said. He originally answered that Rebbe Shimon holds there's mukta only by grogos and mukim, and Rebbe accepts that. That's Rebbe Shita, as we explained before. His son wasn't asking him a question within Rebbe Shimon unless he knew that his father held like Rebbe Shimon. And the animal case here, Midborios, are like grogos and mukim. So there's no question. That is, and Rebbe Shimon's Shita and Rebbe holds like Rebbe Shimon that only grogos and mukim and anything exactly like them is mukta. V'iboyesema, another approach is, L'dvor of the Rebbe Shimon ko'omar le, v'le lo sviro le, that the question and answer between Rebbe Shimon and Rebbe and Rebbe was a more of an academic or a theoretical question. In other words, I'm asking you about, Rebbe Shimon Rebbe was asking his father about Patsi'ile tomorrow, what would Rebbe Shimon hold? Not that Rebbe holds like that. Simply, he was asking, what would Shitas Rebbe Shimon be regarding Grogros and Simukin? But Rebbe doesn't accept that lahalocha. And in fact, rather, Rebbe expands Mukta beyond Grogros and Simukin, like we saw in the case of the Midborios. V'i boyesemo l'divreim derabonon ko'omar lehu. Another explanation is that Rebbe really does hold like Rebbe Shimon, that there's grogut, only by grogut smukim is there mukta. As far as the animals are concerned, that was not Rebbe reflecting his own shita to begin with. L'didi les li mukta klal. I personally hold there's no mukta. In other words, all the cases of the animals are okay to use on Yom Tov. However, you, according to your own approach, you should agree with me in defining midborios. You should agree with me where they go out to pasture on Pesach and come in on the month of Cheshvan. The baisos ninhu, those you, the rabbanon, should have classified as baisos and allow them. The Rabbonon, Omrulei, and the Rabbonon say back to Rebbe, Loi, that is not so, rather, Midborios Ninhu. Not only those animals that graze all year round are Midborios, but even those that graze from Pesach till Cheshvan, till the rainy season, are also Midborios. But once again, according to this third approach, Rebbe in the animal source is not reflecting his own opinion whatsoever. And as far as Rebbe is concerned, he doesn't hold for Mukta, very likely holding like Rebbe Shimon. Before we go on in the Gemara, we have a topic heading and structural note on the side. You'll notice we have a diamond featured, and these are Deos Eich Rebbe Yochanan Posek Binyan Mukta. Kerebi Shimon o Kerebi Huda. So if we look at the diamonds for a moment, you see first you have Rabba Baruch Hanna, quoting Rabbi Yochanan, says Halacha Kerebi Shimon, and then later on the Omid you see Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Yosef quoting Rabbi Yochanan saying Halacha Kerebi Yehuda. So for the time being, we're presenting two opinions, that's Rav Barchanan and Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, as to what Rav Yochanan holds with regard to Muksa, like Rav Shimon, and we see a different opinion holding like Rav Yehuda. However, we're just presenting things right now on a superficial, introductory basis. There is more on the topic as the Gemara unfolds. So, the Gemara. Omar, Rabo, Rav Barchanan, Rav Yochanan. Omru, Halacha, Karevi Shimon. It has been said, says Rav Yochanan, that the Halacha is like Rav Shimon, regarding Muktzah. The Gemara asks a question. The question lasts a few lines. We've indicated that with a long question marking. Omi, Omar, Rav Yochanan, Hachi. Would Rav Yochanan say thusly? Vaha, ba, minei, hahu, sabah, karuya, vi amrila, saruya, me, Rav Yochanan. There was a hosaba. Some say Kruya is the place that he came from. Some say Suri was the place that he came from. And this hosaba asked May Rabbi Yochanan, Kino shel tarnagolas malit tutuli b'shabbos, a chicken's nest. Can one move it around on Shabbos? Amarle, Rabbi Yochanan said, answers, Klum osui olulu tarnagoilim, is a nest not made only for the chickens? Rashi says, Hilko havile malachto leiser, since it's made for chickens, its purpose, its use is for the animals, for the birds, it's called malachto leiser. Animals are usur to move around on Shabbos, so it's malach del isur va'usur, and therefore it's forbidden. Alma islay muksa. Well, you see, then Rabbi Yochanan holds from muksa. If you were to hold like Rabbi Shimon, well, Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold from muksa. Here he is saying that the bird nest is forbidden to be moved around. The Gemara answers. No question. Hocha b'mayaskinon de'is be'efroach meis. This bird nest has in it a dead chicken, and the dead chick is something that's not fit. And even Rabbi Shimon would agree that this is something forbidden to move. Looking at Rashi, this be'afroach meis, the lo chozi lemechal. It's not fit for eating. Uleklovim nami lo chozi. It's not fit for the dogs either. V'avagav yomer Rabbi Shimon mechatas aveil fnei aklovim. Even though Rabbi Shimon has taught that one can chop up an animal body for the dogs, dead animal, hani mili b'mesukenes. That's if it was a dangerously sick animal and it died on Shabbos. Aval briolo, but if it's healthy at the entrance of Shabbos, then no. Delahavid daitem esmo leklovim. He didn't have in mind for giving a healthy animal to dogs. V'haya froch shemes b'Shabbos nami lo havid daitem esmo leklovim. And this chick that died on Shabbos, he didn't have in mind for the dogs. So this is another example of a muktzah that Rabbi Shimon would acknowledge. Well, the Gemara says, Hanicha, that this answer to preserve Rabbi Yochanan's paskening like Rabbi Shimon is good. Hanicha lamar bar amemar mishmei derava di omar moide hoy Rabbi Shimon bali chayim shemesu shasurim. That Rabbi Shimon, who in general doesn't hold for muktzah, acknowledges that this kind of muktzah of bali chayim that were healthy and suddenly died, they are something that Rabbi Shimon will say is usur to move around. Ella lamor reid Rav Yosef mishmei de Rava. These triangles represent two opinions as to what Rava holds with regard to the shitas Rabbi Shimon and animals that drop dead on Shabbos. So, according to mor reid Rav Yosef, quoting Rava, the Omar choluk hoya Rabbi Shimon afu bali chaim shemesu. Shehein mutarin, my equal amemar. Rabbi Shimon, according to Morab Rei Rav Yosef's opinion of Rava, is that these animals that drop dead on Shabbos, Rabbi Shimon says, are mutar to move around. So, what are you going to say then? The question being, Rabbi Yochanan, on the one hand, paskins like Rabbi Shimon. On the other hand, he says that the kinus shel tarnagolus is also to move. And why would it be also to move? Well, if you're going to say because it has a dead chicken in there, that's not reason for assering it, according to this opinion. So we don't have, we still have this inconsistency in Shitas Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara explains, Hocha b'mayaskinan, b'di'is be'beitza. Hocha in the kinah shel tarnagolin, there is an egg in there. Now, an egg is a case of nolad. Nolad is something that was born, or late in this case, laid on Shabbos. And that's something that Rabbi Shimon accepts. Rabbi Shimon holds from nolad. It holds from nolad, meaning that it is something that is forbidden. The Gemara asks, V'omar Rav Nachman man de'is lei muktzah is lei nolad. The less lei muktzah, less lei nolad. But Rav Nachman has said that a person, a shita, that holds for muktzah will acknowledge nolad as a problem. However, one who does not hold for muktzah, notice we dashed underline the less lei muktzah. That's like Rav Shimon. Well, less lei nolad. He won't acknowledge nolad as a problem either. So, once again, if Rabbi Yochanan is holds like Rabbi Shimon, why did Rabbi Yochanan prevent the movement of the kinos shel tarnagolus? And if you'll say, because there's an egg in there, that's not reason for preventing it. The Gemara answers, de'is bei beitzas efroach. There is an egg in there that even a dog wouldn't eat. It has a developing chick in it, and this is something that a dog might eat, but a chick that's inside a shell, a dog will not eat, and therefore it is something that even Rabbi Shimon will agree is as being forbidden. Ki also Rav Yitzchok bar Yosef, Omer Rav Yochanan, Halachik Rav Yehuda. Here, as opposed to the approach just before, that of Rabbo Bar Chana, which set Rav Yochanan as holding like Rabbi Shimon, Rav Yitzchok says, no, Rav Yochanan holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, Omer Halachik Rav Shimon. Omer Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef, upon hearing Rav Yitzchok bar Yosef's presentation, he says, "Hainu de Omar Rabo Barbachana Om Rabbi Yochanan, Omru Halachik Rabbi Shimon, Omru Velelo Svirole." Rav Yosef does something magnificent in this Gemara and points out that the original diamond, namely above where Rabo Barbachana appeared, doesn't present any difficulty to begin with. In light of Rabbi Yitzchok bar Yosef's approach, they are all in agreement. Rabbo Bar Chana never said that Rabbi Yochanan himself holds like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Yehuda. And what Rabbo Bar Chana said is that Rabbi Yochanan mentioned they say the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. They say is others, but I personally don't hold from that. Rather, says Rabbi Yochanan, hold like Rabbi Yehuda. Now, if that be the case, so then according to this approach, the issue of the Rabbi Yochanan's psak by the kinus shel tarnagolim doesn't present a problem to begin with, because Rabbi Yochanan said that klum osu el tarnagolim, that the kinus shel tarnagolim is only for the chicks, and it's therefore usher. That's right, because Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Yehuda. However, we ask a question. This is a long question, and we have a long question marking to denote the fact that it's a long question. That's the shin that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. Amalei Abaye l'Rav Yosef. V'at lo tisbara to Rabbi Yochanan Krav Yehuda? This question is a little difficult if you are going to rely just on the translation. But Rashi adds in the missing words, which makes it much easier to understand. Abaye is asking Rav Yosef, "You, Rav Yosef, are giving me the impression that had you not heard Rav Yitzchok's teaching, you wouldn't have known that Rav Yochanan holds like Rabbi Yehuda." Abaye says to Rav Yosef, "Hey, even without hearing Rav Yitzchok bar Yosef's psak that Rav Yochanan goes like Rav Yehuda, we know that Rav Yochanan holds like Rav Yehuda from another incident." So the question is, Abaye is asking basically a technical question. He's asking Rav Yosef, "Do you really need Rav Yitzchok to know that Rav Yochanan holds like Rav Yehuda? We know from a story involving a menorah, a candelabra, that Rabbi Yochanan would hold like Rabbi Yehuda." The Gemara's answer, which also will take a few lines to develop, and you can see there's a long answer marking that we have following this long question. The Rabbi Yosef answers and says, "Listen, if you are assuming that we would know Rabbi Yochanan's position from the case of the menorah, that's not so. The case of menorah is different, and the iser, the restriction that we see in the case of the menorah, which we haven't learned yet, that's based on other factors, other than simple muktzah." Now the Gemara. Once again, we start from the beginning. Omar lei, the beginning of a long question. Omar lei Abaye l'Rav Yosef. Fiat lo tisbara de Rabbi Yochanan Krav Yehuda, and would you on your own not say, without Rabbi Yitzchok's teaching, that Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Yehuda? Ha Rabbi Abba of Ravasi iklu lebei Rabbi Abba de min Chayfa. There's a story involving Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Yasi. They went to the home of Rabbi Abba of Chayfa. And a menorah, a candelabra, fell on the glime, on the garment of Ravasi, and Ravasi didn't move it. My time up. Why did he not move it? Lav mishum de Ravasi, talmid de Rabbi Yochanan have. Ravasi was a known student of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan Krav Yehuda svirale the islay muktza, and Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that acknowledges, accepts the restriction of muktza, and a candelabra is an example of muktza. Omar lei, so Rabbi Yosef answers, Menarto ko amris, you're trying to prove your point from the case of the candelabra. Menarto shiny. From the case of menorah is different. From the case of the menorah, I wouldn't have known that Rabbi Yochanan accepts as a rule the concept of muktza. Therefore, I need Rabbi Yitzchak to establish that Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Yehuda. The case of the menorah is different. In other words, the case of menorah is a more extreme, a more serious problem. I wouldn't have known from the case of menorah that there is that Rabbi Yochanan says there's a general rule of muktza. And here the Gemara elaborates. The Omer of Acha Bar Chanina, Omer of Asi, Hira Reish Lakish Betzidon, Menorah Hanitelis Biado Achas Mutur Letaltala, B'Shteyad of Osir Letaltala. Rav Asi tells us that Reish Lakish ruled in Sidon, it's the name of a place, that a candelabra that's small, nitels biyado achas, it can be moved with one hand, that's the kind of thing that you can move around on Shabbos. If, however, it's b'shteyado, it's a heavy one, you would need two hands to move it, it's osur letatala. For Rabbi Yochanan Omar, here the emphasis is on Rabbi Yochanan, that's why we dashed underline his name. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, onu ein lonu ela b'ner, Rabbi Shimon. avol menora bein nitlo biyodoi achas bein nitlo bishtei yodov osir letaltala. A menorah, though, is different. That only by a near, a small oil lamp, would we, and Rashi adds, Ela b'ner, Rashi adds several lines from the bottom, b'ner yoshon kirav shimon dematir avo menorah, but the case of menorah, hilkoch is different, hilkoch ilav, the Rabbi Yitzchok lo havi yadana le. If not for Rabbi Yitzchok, I wouldn't have known from the case of menorah. Aval hashtu yadana de Rabbi Yisrael le bekulhu bar mimuksa machan smius de ner yoshan. But now that I have Rabbi Yitzchok, I know that Rabbi Yochanan holds in all cases like Rabbi Yehuda, except for the case of the ner yoshan, where Rabbi Yochanan doesn't accept muksa machan smius. The time of my, and so, and why is the menorah that's nitelis b'shtei yodav such a problem? Why is that also, or we should say, why is the menorah, the case of menorah, whether it's nitelis b'yodav achas or shtei yodav, why is it also? So, Rabbi Rav Yosef, Damri Travayu, Hayu v'odam koiveya lo mokoim. A candelabra is something that a person fixes in place, establishes a place for it. And we don't underline this kovelo mokom. We'll need to refer back to this in on the next line, but for the time being, because of this concept of odom kovelo mokom, the menorah is restricted in being moved. But not because of simple muksa. Therefore, Rav Yosef says, I need to have heard Rav Yitzchok in the diamond that we had above, the refusal of Rav Yosef, that Rav Yochanan paskins like Rav Yehuda. But from Rav Asi's non-movement of the menorah, true, Rav Asi is a student of Rav Yochanan, but from that story, I wouldn't have known that Rav Yochanan holds from Muktzah. The fact that Rav Asi didn't move the menorah is because Ha'il V'odam Kaveh Alam Mokim. This is essentially the basic answer that Rav Yosef gave to Abaye. However, the discussion continues. There's a marking that we just introduced, a house marking, house shape, and on the side of the Gemara under the Mivneh heading, you can see the house shape is featured. These are Hesperim le'isur tilta menorah. These are different explanations as to why the menorah is usur to move. But we have to focus on, let's say, the forest for the trees. And that is that Rav Yosef gave a basic answer, and that is that the case of menorah is not a classic case of muktzah. Therefore, Rav Yosef says, I need to have heard Rav Yitzchok Bar Yosef telling us that Rav Yochanan holds like Rav Yehuda. Here the Gemara is now going to get into exactly why is a menorah forbidden. The first answer, the first approach, Rav Yosef, their approach is Hoyol V'Odom Kovel HaMokim. We're now going to question that explanation of menorah. Omar Le Abaye the Rav Yosef. Vare kilas chasanim the odom koveya lo mokoyim. Kilas chasanim is a canopy that is spread over beds. It's a setup where you have a bed, and there's an upright pole at the foot of the bed and at the head of the bed, and across these two upright poles is a pole running from one of these uprights to the other upright. So you have this, we call this ches-shaped arrangement, if you're looking at the bed from the side, two uprights and a cross pole, and on top of this is draped a canopy. Could be whatever it's made of, it's a sheet or it's netting, but it's a canopy. And it's draped over this pole, extending down to below the bed. That's a kilas chasanim. Now this canopy is something that has a fixed place. That's the odom kovelo mokim. The omar shmuel mishum rebichia. Kilas Chasanim, continuing at the top of Daf Memvov, Mutter Lintoiso Mutter Lefarka Vishabas. You can spread it. You can spread it over the poles, and you can remove it on Shabbos. Rashi gets into a level of detail which has to do with the Isser of Boina and Oyel, but for our purposes, Rashi simply says that there's no Isser of Oyel over here, because the top is not a tefach, a cross. It doesn't have a width of a tefach. It's a narrow pole, and the sheet or the canopy is simply draped over it, coming down in a, we'll call it forming a triangular or a pup tent type shape. But the main point for us is that here you have an example of something that they're koivea lo mokim, and it's mutter to move it around. Elo Omar Abaye, the house is featured again, and we pointed out that these are explanations as to why the menorah represents a particular problem. Abaye says, Bishel Chulios. It's a menorah that's made of pieces. It's coupled together in a put-together fashion. Rashi says, "B'shel chuyos b'menorah shel prokim." It's made of sections. Shema tipol v'tisparek v'yachzireno v'nimso isekli. In a menorah made of sections, we're afraid that if you move it around, it will fall and come apart, and you'll put it back together again. And that is a problem of making a vessel, and that's forbidden to do on Shabbos. The Gemara asks, "I hachi, my time of the Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Deshari." So, if it's a menorah shel chulios, why does Reish Lakish say that if it's a it's nita v'yodo achas, why would he allow the movement of that? He said it was mutter l'tapala. And for your convenience, in order to see where Reish Lakish said that, we have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, indicating where he said that. And that the arrow that you see to the immediate right-hand side indicates Mem Hei Omid Bey, so you would simply skim down the lower part to the lower part of Mem Hei Omid Bey, and you'll see where the parallel arrow is. So the Gemara answers, my chulios, Abaye's answer of Vishel chulios, what does he mean by chulios? Ke'en chulios, te'is bo chidki. It's not actually made of pieces. It's a single, it's a solid, solid state menorah. It's a solid piece, one vessel, a single solid vessel. However, it has notches on it. The notches are give the impression that it's made of pieces, but it's in actuality one solid piece. Hilkoch. Chulios, if you're dealing with a menorah that's made of actual pieces, bein gedola, bein ktana, asura letaltala, whether it's large or even if it's small, it's also to move it. Gedoila nami deis bochidki, a large solid state menorah, but it has these notches, it's decorated with these notches, looking like a chulios thing. We don't allow the movement of that either. Everyone agrees. Gzeira otu gedola de chulios. There is an additional restriction concerning this in anticipation of the large one that's made of actual pieces. And why do we make a gzeira? Because, now Rashi explains, gedola hoyel v'darko lasoysa shel chulios, since it's customary to make large candelabras out of pieces, ki is bechidki, even if it's not made of pieces, but it has these notches on it, savri de chulios hein, people think it's made of pieces, since that's the normal way of making large candelabras, vi also afilu reish lakish, and it would be also to move, even according to reish lakish, gedomer leil, nitelus b'shtei yodayim also letaltas, he said himself that a large one that you would need two hands to move, is also to move. The Gemara continues, Ki pligi, when do you see the machloikis, Reish Lakish and Reb Yochanan? Biktano de Isbochitki, a small candelabra that has notches. It's again solid state. It's small though, and it has notches. More sovar gazrinon, Rabbi Yochanan is restrictive, and he says that we will make gzera on that too, in anticipation of one made of pieces. More sovar, Reish Lakish is lenient, and he says lo gazrinon. At this point in the Gemara, since we're in the context of a daf yomi shir, so this will be a reasonable place to pause. However, we are still in the midst of a discussion. You can see the next question of the Gemara is, Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, does Rabbi Yochanan really rule like Rabbi Yehuda? And that will be a time to reflect back on what Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef said, that Rabbi Yochanan paskins like Rabbi Yehuda. And we will then raise a question challenging that. In fact, in light of the fact that this is so related to what we have just learned, we will not pause here. We'll just continue another few lines, spilling over our Daf Yomi limit a bit. And the question, Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi. Does Rabbi Yochanan really hold, like was claimed, that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, and that there is an iser of muksa? Note, of course, this is a long question. You can see the kuf that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with the descending vertical dashed line. V'homer Rabbi Yochanan, halacha kistam mishnah. But Rabbi Yochanan has said that we follow the ruling of an unnamed mishnah, a stam mishnah. It's a mishnah without a name attached to it. And that is something that gives the fact that it has no name is an indication that it is authoritative. Utnan, and in the Stam Mishnah it says as follows, and this is a source that we've seen before, and as we noted when we saw this previously, it's a source that has to do with Tumas Kalim, and it has a lot of detail in it regarding matters that are related to Tumas Kalim, but it's beyond the purview of our sukkah, so we're not going to spend time explaining those details, but we're going to focus more on the Shabbos aspect of this, as we will see at the end. The source says, Muchni Shela, the wheel of a cart, Bizman Shehi Nishmetes, when it's removed, Ein Chibur La, it's not considered attached to it, the Ein Nimdedes Ima, and it's not part of the measuring when you have to figure the size of this to establish whether it's a kli or it's larger than a kli and would not makabel tuma. The ein matzelis ima b'oil hames, and it doesn't protect against the tuma imposed by a corpse. The ein guru nosa b'shabbes bizman shiesh oleamos, and this is what's significant for us. And you don't draw it or drag it when there is money upon it. Now, we infer from this, ha'ein olel mo'ez sharia. If there's no money on this wheel, so it's mutter to drag it. V'ava gav dahavu olei bein hashmoshos. Even if the coins were on the wheel at the onset of Shabbos. So this is a ruling that's like Rebbe Shimon. Namely, that even though at bein hashmoshos it would have been something that one could not move, the fact that as Shabbos continued, the money fell off the wheel, it's okay to move it, even though at the onset of Shabbos it was prohibited. Well, that is the shita of Rabbi Shimon, that's less lay muksa, because according to those that hold from muksa, things are defined by what their status was at the onset of Shabbos. Here you have something that the onset of Shabbos it would have been also to move, and yet, in the course of Shabbos, when the problem is no longer there, the money has fallen off, the inference here is you're allowed to move it. And Rabbi Yochanan rules like this. So this is a kasha on what we saw on Mem Hei Amud Beis, where we saw Rabbi Yitzchak ruling that Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Yehuda. No, it seems that Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara answers, Amar Rabbi Zera, Tehei Mishnosenu, let us explain the case of the Muchni that we just saw, this Tanaic source, Shelo hoyu ole amois kol bein hashmoshos, that the case of the wheel that we said in the source that when money is on it, you cannot move it. But if money is not on it, you can move it. And when we say that money was not on it, it's money is not on it now, and it was, and there's no, and there was no money on it, bein hashmoshos either. Shelo lishbar devarav shel Rabbi Yochanan, so as not to break or ruin the teaching of Rabbi Yochanan. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan is like we saw originally Rabbi Yitzchok saying that he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, and this source doesn't represent a challenge to that, because this source which spoke about the money on the wheel, that when money is on the wheel you cannot move it, and if money was not on the wheel, bein hashmashos, in other words there was no money bein hashmashos on the wheel, nor is there any money on it now, you can move it. That is something that even Rabbi Yehuda would acknowledge, would agree with. And by this we are preserving Rabbi Yochanan's ruling that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, that there is muktzah. With this, we conclude our shiur for today.